The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Thursday. Hope you had a nice day today. We are moving ahead now. The 20th is coming up a week from tomorrow, so we will see what happens. Meanwhile, in Europe, American troops and heavy armor, tanks, equipment, and so forth continue to roll through Poland, Germany, to positions along the Russian border. I don't know what this guy in the White House thinks he's doing. Operation American Resolve. What is he doing? Weird. But then on the other side of that coin, some strange statements. I've got them up at the top of headlines at Rents. These are very warlike, bellicose statements from Pompeo, Tillerson, and Mattis. Read them. I don't quite understand. These don't seem appropriate to me, given the warming relations that Trump is leaning toward with Russia, but keep reading, keep watching. A lot of things can happen. There still is talk that Obama would like to have a war, limited, regional, whatever, with Russia. Continuity of government, COG. There's a lot on the table here, and it's very difficult to keep it formatted for all of you to process, but we do our best, and it is up there. It's posted, so just even if you only read the headlines each day, please do that, so you'll have a handle on the rudiments of what's going on. Now, Yoichi Shimatsu has posted Pizzagate Part 9, A Cloud Over Amazon / Washington Post, and Trumped Up in Moscow. This is another very compelling piece. These are, I think he really should get some kind of honor for this. This is the best investigative reporting on this very ugly story of Pizzagate, which is an enormous story. You have to remember, and I've said this before, the whole Russian election hacking contrivance, it didn't happen. And the whole fake news brouhaha were concocted, in my view, and I think Yoshi agrees with me. In fact, I think he might have said it first, that they were concocted to run interference to try to divert people away from Pizzagate. Pizzagate is the ugliest thing on the planet. It is satanic. It has to do with pedophilia, above all, the sacrificing of God only knows how many children, and this is not a joke, This is something that is worldwide. It's not just the Western so-called Christian world, it's worldwide. And it exists at the highest levels of government, at almost any level you can imagine, in countries all over this planet. Yoshi, welcome back. Congratulations on part nine.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's I can't believe the series in the nine. I'm going to be 10, and God forbid, maybe 11 and 12. This is the unending scandal, centered in the capital, Washington, D.C. And as we get closer to the inauguration, I had hoped to be there for the inauguration.
Yes, yes.
A couple of friends who live in Washington, I was going to stay with them and all, they said, don't come, that the metro is going to be closed. All the roads around central, the part of the Capitol, the mall and all, you're not going to be allowed to walk on Pennsylvania Avenue. This is the nation's capital. American citizens, Trump supporters cannot go. I mean, usually, your supporters go out there, wave the American flag, the cavalcade goes in. Isn't that like part of the whole electoral process of celebrating democracy? That the majority wins and that the minority concedes in a gentlemanly way, realizes, it could be them that's waving the flags too, and maybe next time. There's a kind of civility that goes with democracy, especially the world's oldest democracy, a kind of civility. And for Washington to be under a state, you see, the metro stations around the Capitol Hill area, all shut down. You're not going to be able to get in. The only cars, no way, no parking.
Wow.
The only people who are going to be able to get into the Capitol under the police chief, who is a known Homeland Security, former CIA agent, woman police chief, black woman police chief. The only people who are going to get into the Capitol are busloads of protesters who are out to wreck the Capitol.
And they've pledged and promised to bring D.C. to a halt.
To do everything they can. Yep. It's not going to be just a circus. They're promising violence and so on. So to protect the residents of Washington, to protect Trump supporters, the police there decided, well, we're not going to have American citizens in the Capitol. It's too unsafe for them. We're not going to have Trump supporters there. Despite the fact that Trump won the election, this is their party. This is going to be their day, right? No, it's going to be George Soros' riots inside the Capitol. And I swear, I don't understand. I just really hope that the FBI and Homeland Security arrest that old bastard and puts him away. He's done enough damage to this country, to all the democracies of Western Europe, of Eastern Europe. This man has no right whatsoever to be financing this sort of violence against democracy.
Oh, absolutely. I do suggest also that there's at least a 50-50 chance that people are going to die. Yeah, people are going to die.
He's a terrorist, a proven terrorist, an assassinate, a murderer, a bank robber, and a supporter of pedophiles. The man's got to be put down fast as possible. We want peace in this democracy and a social consensus, so left and right, women and men, women, gays, and straight, and talk with each other and get to business of fixing the country and fixing the world. So you've got to get rid of people like that. They're like Al Capone. You just cannot give Al Capone the right to send guys in downtown with machine guns. I mean, come on, let's wake up.
Right. Now, we've got bikers for Trump are going to try to go there, but they're not going to be allowed in. So they're going to be screened out.
No. They can't get in. The roads will be closed. What are they going to do? Leave their bikes so that a bunch of rioters can destroy them?
Oh, they'll do, and they will.
Of course they will.
These are paid
thugs that are coming in. People who've just been released from prison, right? Under governorships, prison systems that are controlled by the Democratic Party, letting out, opening their jails. This is what has happened in Syria. This is what happened in Syria. They opened the jails all across the Arab world and let these guys loose on civilians in Syria. That's what they're doing to Washington, D.C. So this is just an outrage. When Obama came in, despite the massive ideological differences with the George W. Bush administration, George Bush spent the last month in office back at his ranch in Texas. He departed so that the transition team that the advance team of Obama could come to Washington and get
exactly.
about setting up their
That's
presidency. Right.
Right? Sure.
I mean, this is
sure.
what democracy is. George Bush had no love of Obama, but he, and for whatever, you know, crimes he did and whatever, he understood there's a basic rule of gentility here that you have to do because, you know, whatever you do to foreign countries, you
well,
can't
Well, they
do
use the corny cliche of healing after the election and getting together and working as Americans together. And that, of course, is so passé now.
We haven't heard that from the Obama side at all.
I'm not going to.
This is a national tragedy working out. And, you know, a lot of these people, you know, black people, we can understand why some have been poor. They still feel alienated. They still feel powerless. But I don't understand all the Jewish people. You know, this country has been better to all the Jewish people than even Israel has been, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it.
If they can't dominate, they will destroy. You know, they want to be victimized. I think, you know, they said, you know, either we run this place, we have everything and all the privileges, or we are victims. Yeah, and we won't accept that. So America should be destroyed because they're victimizing us. You know, it was so absolutely depressing to see the Anne Frank Center. You know,
I couldn't believe
American
that one.
Office
yeah.
of
yeah.
Anne and denouncing. You know, Donald Trump for saying, you know, we're not Nazi Germany. Well, he wasn't talking about the Holocaust. We're talking about the kind of, he was talking about the kind of propaganda in Nazi Germany, okay?
Right.
I mean, the notion that they own World War II, they own the struggle against Nazism. And, you know, my father was in the American Army, he's Japanese. And when I was a kid, I just couldn't believe what he said. Teenager, I said, you know, Jewish people are okay. They're in the anti-war movement. They're cool. A lot of my friends, he said, I don't like Jews. I said, why, Dad? You're a racist. And he says, no. You don't understand. In World War II, U.S. Army, what did we have when we hit the shores of Africa, Sicily, Italy, France, and Germany? Well, there were German, a lot of German-Americans, Italian-Americans, Japanese-Americans.
Yep.
We didn't see any Jewish. We didn't see any Jewish-Americans. They were back in the home front screwing our wives and girlfriends, profiteering from the war industries. So I said, Dad, that's a little harsh. But, you know, those are harsh words.
No, Dad was
a veteran.
Dad,
of all the battles, he saw it. He came back to L.A.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Now, he was a true hero. True hero. Pull away from your phone just a little bit. It's breaking up slightly.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm thinking, let's see if we can get that calmed down. Yeah. We hear you fine.
Yeah, so this is the situation we face a week before inauguration. You talk about foreign wars. What is happening? Why are American troops being sent to the front lines like not just a cold war, some sort of hot war? Yeah.
Another story with over 3,600 tanks. The number varies.
Yeah.
Joel Skousen was on the other night, and he figured it was several hundred. I can't tell you how many stories I've seen where it's in the thousands. Lots.
It's in the thousands.
So I do believe that that's correct.
What's happening now is in a little country called Macedonia.
Uh-huh.
It's north of Greece. It's between Bulgaria, Serbia, Albania, and Kosovo. Okay?
Kosovo.
Between those areas.
Yeah.
Kosovo, yeah. It's between those areas. John McCain just pushed to send a lot of weapons to the Albanian government. During the Trump interim coming up, they're going to try to partition Macedonia. The old president, who supported unity of Macedonia, he's been ousted by the George Soros, USAID. This is where, do you remember the Veles, the Macedonian fake news thing where the factory that was supposed to create all this pro-Trump fake news, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's that country, Veles, Macedonia.
Got it.
Veles was the center of the color revolution that George Soros was organizing. That he set up all the media there. The Internet Center was financed by USAID and the Soros Foundation, okay? They're the ones who were hacking and doing all this stuff. At first, they went after Bernie Sanders and put out a lot of fake Bernie Sanders literature and said, look, Bernie Sanders is a liar, you know? Then the Trump stuff. Oh, look, fake news for Trump. You know, Trump people are. It was all a Soros operation
sure
with USAID back.
Yeah. The only good story. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
The only good story I've seen is that allegedly the Trump victory cost Soros over $1 billion.
Well, he intends to get it back. Right now, Macedonia, the Kosovars there, they've had an armed rebellion on the western border of Macedonia. Albania sort of stays out of it because they're supplying financing. But Kosovo on that side, ISIS territory, ISIS black flags,
they're moving,
thousands of Kosovars are in Syria. Now that Aleppo is gone, they're all coming back to the Balkans. They control the swath of Macedonia because Macedonia doesn't have an army. They only have a police force. So they've been outgunned by these militant
Arabs. Easily. They're spreading in there like a cancer.
And now Obama just sent in, with McCain's support, a lot more guns into there. They're shipping in guns like crazy, ammunition, heavy arms, to Albania to send down there to partition Macedonia, which is a dominant Serbian-speaking, the Serbo-Croatian-speaking society, north of Greece. And so, a war is imminent. Another partition, and there's plans to partition Croatia, to partition Bosnia, to for another...
Well, they have Arab populations in there, and they're going to try to split it along those lines. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. It's become an ISIS base, an ISIS base in the heart of Europe. It's unacceptable. So this is Obama's exit plan, is to get this war...
This is his legacy.
His legacy is another round of war he's going to leave for Donald Trump.
We've been at war every day that SOB has been in office. Every day.
Yeah. So it makes sense, however, that the Trump's advisors, many of them in the military, are sort of girding themselves for struggle. It may be a massive war. They've got to somehow deal with this. They got to be prepared for it. How that war goes is a different question. You understand what I mean?
I certainly do.
If there's going to be a war, you got to be ready for a war. And whatever continues.
We're not remotely ready for a war. No.
This is being cooked up. So we have a civil war here at home in the United States, right in the nation's capital. Thousands of people converge, and they're going to be allowed to dominate the Capitol Mall. Okay? And there's going to be an international war in Europe that they're right now preparing for. These are bad times. These are not time bombs. These are just landmines that Obama is leaving. This is a really traitorous person. And
treasonous.
I wish there was some way to remove him from the White House now. Impeach him now.
The next 8 days are extremely dangerous. And by the way, after those eight days, it's going to remain dangerous. Don't kid yourselves. Yeah. Here are four.
He'll be under siege.
Here are four little stories I've got up that I want you to make sure you pay attention to, folks. War talk. One, Tillerson says U.S. will block China from its South China Sea islands. Those artificial islands they made. China was not amused by this. What is Tillerson saying this for now? He's not even sworn in. War talk.
He's trying to divert attention. No, it could be. The Trump people aren't being tactically coy right now.
They
understand the threat. They understand how far this goes. They understand the dagger in their back from people like McCain. So it is tough. They have to show toughness now. They can't be talking just...
Here's war talk. War talk number two. Mattis, Secretary of Defense, says, quote, Russia is the principal threat to the United States, end quote. Well, all right. Mm-hmm. Why? War talk number three. Pompeo, incoming CIA director nominee, says it's, quote, clear Russia is responsible for hacking the U.S. election. Is he crazy? It didn't happen. So what's he saying that for? War talk number four. Mattis. Mattis, Russia, China, and terrorists threaten world order, but the U.S. is ready to engage all three of them. War talk.
I think these are warnings that they don't want trouble. They don't want Russia, China, or any other potential adversity to take advantage of this chaos in the transition. They know there's going to be...
I'm just questioning the timing of it. Why are they doing it now when Obama is...
Issue warning. No,
I understand.
See what I'm saying? They don't want to be caught. They have to tell the other side,
We're
to be ready. You're not going to take advantage of us while we're down, while we have a civil war on the streets of our capital. If you try to move in, we will fight. And
but how do they mix in? How do they mix in with what Obama is doing in Eastern Europe? It looks like the whole. It looks like both regimes.
I think it's prevented. They're trying to tell the Russians, cool it, cool it, cool it. Don't go for the bait.
Well, that's they damn well better, and I hope they're doing it behind the scenes, not just in these hearings.
No, I'm sure they are. They have the emissaries. I think there's an understanding there.
I think there's been a lot of communication. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is part of an elaborate game to let Obama's people and those commanders out there know, you know, if they try to provoke a war, it's not going to be a little thing. There's going to be a lot of killing, okay? So let's not do this, okay? That, you know, this is going to be real. You know, the Russians will fight, the Chinese will fight. So let's be prepared, but let's not go for the bait that's being put out there by the Soros.
Well, the Chinese, as you know, also said that if the incoming regime, if Trump continues, or Mattis, or Tillerson, to talk about a two-China policy, not a one-China policy, that won't work either. So they're really rattling their chopsticks over there.
Well, you know, that's their style. They got to be tough. They're big boys. But, you know, they want to talk. It's about trade. It's about going
to be about money.
Tariffs. It's a chess game. Okay, they understand that. They're not going to take out the clubs and club each other down. It's about chess here, you know.
Right.
About money, how to divvy it up. So I think those world leaders are a lot saner than the people like the Soroses, Rothschilds, and so on.
Well, so if we have any kind of a tragedy, that's you just named the culprits.
Which gets us to this phony report, you know, yesterday's huge brouhaha, right?
Yeah.
That happened at the big press conference. 450 reporters there, and this thing explodes. The shouting match with CNN, the crazy behavior, the mad dog behavior of Acosta, the CNN reporter, totally out of the line for the press to be disrupting the conference like that and making demands that he be heard. Just 450 reporters there.
Yeah.
You take your chance, okay? You get up. Just because you're CNN doesn't mean you're going to get called. I've been plenty of these things. I haven't been called most of the time. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, okay?
Sure.
It's a press conference.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the topic, the tenor, and all that. But, you know, Obama has been coddling these people, right, the mainstream media, so they're used to that. See, these people want privilege. If they can't dominate...
Well, it's entitlement,
you know,
at a grand level, entitlement.
What are you doing to me, you know, Mr. Trump? Yeah, right? I mean, you saw that yesterday with Acosta, acting like he's some sort of victim of censorship. That's pathetic. They've had the stage the whole time.
Of course. Yeah,
absolutely
right. Sure.
And so anyway, on this article, Pizzagate number 9.
Yeah, hold on. We got to pause right now.
We'll discuss what happened yesterday and the nature of the report, which I read very carefully. Okay.
Very good. Stand by. Yoshi, I want you to hang up and call Todd again. I want to try and get a little bit better connection. Todd, he'll call you right back. So thanks for that. All right. Okay. Back to talk about Pizzagate Part 9, which you can find right on the homepage and in headlines as well, written by Yoshi, and I think you'll find it to be extraordinary in its breadth of coverage, its depth of coverage, and its insightfulness. Be right back. Business here, Pizzagate, trying to be covered up so many ways, hoping people will just forget about it. We're not. Many people have stopped reporting on it. I think they've either been talked to, or they're just afraid. They don't want to touch it. It's too big. It's too ugly. But it is. It's real, and we're going to tell you about it. All right, Part 9, Yoshi.
Okay, well, Part 9 gets into the role of, the Washington Post, along with the New York Times, where they were the first two major media to denounce the Reddit people and call for censorship.
Right.
And Washington Post was the first to publish what notoriously called is the list. Those are the 200 online news sites that, you know, covered Pizzagate issues, and you know, demanded, you know, the shutdown of these sites and all that, and censorship of those sites, which did happen to Reddit, to 4chan and others, you know, self-censorship and self-censorship. And there's a lot of pressure under called the doxing rule.
Yeah, let me tell you something else that's going on. I just got word today that the Associated Press is threatening some of my sponsors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of their agenda. See, this
That's
is that you know, even before any kind of law, Obama did sign one bill into you know, the defense appropriation bill, which has some censorship clause in there. Before a law is fully put in effect, tested the courts, this is the whole point. They're trying to use the power of the mass media to get to all the advertisers and, you know, whatever else powers they have, to suppress these sites. And there's a business point to that too. If, you know, if ad agencies, PR companies don't advertise to the online press, okay, all the more money for the Washington Post and New York Times website.
You bet.
You got it?
And they're failing now.
And they're hurting
it,
financially. Sure. They're hurting financially because they're crappy journalism. People are tired of hearing their lies, okay? And that's why they go to alternative press. So, and I give credit to Norman Solomon and 6,000 other individual. He has a petition. He's a graduate of the Pacific News Service out in San Francisco, real rowdy bunch, non-ideological, all over the map out in San Francisco from back in the 80s. The rebellious. They're sort of the forerunners of the online press, you know. He fought against this, quoted in my article, and I give him credit for fighting against this because, well, you know, just like the introduction of your show is about, we support the First Amendment, our rights of free speech, religion, and freedom of the press. You know, that's basic. And we support the Second Amendment to make sure those rights are defended. You know? So I think this is the duty of every American citizen, whatever their political color or their skin color is that's the one thing we should have in common. You're right to have your own ideas, your own mind, and to be able to speak it, and other people willing to listen to it and argue with you. Okay, this is what it's all about. It's an arena. Okay. And that's what the Constitution, the idea of democracy, is really founded on. So I go into the Amazon, Amazon.com, which bought Washington Post, and there's something very, very insidious there, and it's in Jeff Bezos' family, very dodgy family background, but his grandfather, he was raised by his grandfather, Lawrence Preston Giss, okay, from Texas. But his grandfather was the chief administrator, the founder, okay, of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Okay? Now, I want you, please pay attention to this and read part 9. Bezos' grandfather founded DARPA.
Yeah, and this was to develop a rocket program, rocket science. He was a rocket scientist. A rocket program, a nuclear, you know, warhead delivery system, satellites, and all, because of what was called the Sputnik challenge. You know, all Americans, including myself, I was a young kid in high school at the time, and I was very much directed in the science of going to engineering, chemistry, whatever you can to catch up with the Russians and overtake them. You know,
there was always a gap of some kind. There was the expression was gap, satellite gap, missile gap, whatever gap.
It's like for a racehorse. You always say you're slower than the other guy. Run harder. You know, so that was the sort of psychology. But also, DARPA, 2 years into DARPA, they created ARPANET, the internet, you know, piloting code in which you can get messages to addresses on their own, sort of like a robotic system in which it can be self-guided, like a self-guided missile. Okay, same very kind of thinking. Lawrence Giss, or Prescott Giss, was the creator of this notion of a self-guided system.
Right.
This was later not only applied to the internet and communications, but also to psychology. DARPA was a major investor in the MK Ultra project, and when the CIA pulled out of it, DARPA took it over. Now, the big shock is that the Bezos Family Foundation, Bezos' father and mother, are financing, and everyone should look at their website, Child Development Studies under what's called the Obama Brain Initiative. okay? And there's apps there on how to train your child step by step so that it's smarter, your child is smarter, but you cannot tamper with any of the rules, they say, for scientific reasons. No, they're turning parents, average parents, into the MK Ultra masters for your children. What is the end game here? What is happening? Amazon gets the CIA cloud, right? Contract, $600 million.
Yep.
For this secret cloud where they can store all this data.
Yep.
What DARPA is working on is a brain implant where it's basically artificial intelligence, supercomputer artificial intelligence, will control your thoughts and feelings. They'll put an implant into your brain of every American citizen, and that the supercomputer's artificial intelligence will tell you what to do. Don't be depressed.
And these are headed toward, let me just put this in real quick, these are headed toward nano-sized objects, okay, or nano-machines. Yeah. They're not going to be injected. You'll be in the food, you'll inhale it, it'll be in the water, it'll go into the system, it'll be designed to lock onto some kind of an organ system, a neurological system, and stay. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's brain dust. It's dust that
that's
you absorb.
Perfect.
And these are like little bacteria that implant themselves through your whole nervous system, your brain, into your sensory system, where, and ostensibly, this is the real irony of the thing, the reason they do it, to why the Defense Department's involved and this DARPA's involved, is because they said, oh, we don't want people coming back, our veterans coming back from the wars with PTSD to suffer from bad memories and terrible dreams.
Right.
You got that?
Yeah.
They're going to friggin' erase the minds of American veterans.
That's what they're
doing.
You
don't remember what happened at Abu Ghraib. You don't remember what happened down in Tikrit, what we did there, or what we did in Afghanistan. You don't remember what we're going to do to Macedonia.
Oh, Fallujah.
Fallujah, yeah. And the idea is we're going to erase, you know, the idea is erase function, like on a CD, right, on your USB stick, on a piece of tape, the erase function on the human mind.
It's quite doable. It's not a problem.
Now, do you understand why Jeff Bezos was so eager to take over the Washington Post?
Makes perfect sense.
They're going to do that to the news.
That's right.
They're going to erase, and this is what their censorship about. We're going to erase the so-called fake news. Pizzagate will be erased. Okay? It's all about erasure. And I forget who that post.
Well, you hit the big delete key in the sky. That's what they're putting in. They're installing it.
Yeah, Paul the man. He was.
Who? What was his name? God. Paul what?
Paul the man. Paul the man.
Okay.
EMAN, Belgian. As a young man, he had worked on during the occupation on under a fascist newspaper, because all the newspapers are fascist.
Right.
Wrote some anti-Semitic articles, apparently. He was a huge success in postmodern literature studies, and then he was toppled and destroyed, and you can't find any of his stuff on the internet anymore. But he was brilliant because he knew, because he went through this process, okay? He says, erasure, you know, erasing your past, erasing your memory is destruction.
So it's not even that they're concentrating on what's happening now and in the future. They're just going back and deleting. Interesting.
Yeah, they're deleting. They're deleting the past, okay?
Uh-huh.
This is a memory hole. But Paul the man warned that when you, because he suffered this himself, when you erase, this will destroy you permanently. This is destructive to your mind, okay?
What a great man. What a great mind. I've never heard of him.
Destructive to a culture. Mm-hmm. To the cultural member, destructive to a political system, and it's going to come back to haunt you. Okay, do you understand? The stuff we erase is going to come back to haunt you.
Oh, yeah.
That, those memories are important. Whether good or bad, those memories are important. They're there for a reason.
Well, that's your history. That's history. We can't make decisions now unless we know where we've been, theoretically.
Yeah. And there is a dark strain that I point out in Jeff Bezos' personal history, that his biological father, when confronted by a reporter from Esquire, didn't know he had a son until he was told, oh, he's one of the richest men in America. And then he said, oh, that son. He had no idea he had a son. Now, in other words, there's a little bit of a block there about
just a little.
He was raised on his grandfather's knee. Uh-huh. And this reminds me very much of the situation in the movie Chinatown. The relationship between John Huston and the Faye Dunaway character. Okay? That his stepfather...
You mean Jack Nicholson? Jack Nicholson.
Well, yeah, he was a star, but John Huston was the father figure.
Yes, of course.
And,
right.
And Faye Dunaway was the daughter.
That's
and
right.
They had a granddaughter. Remember that? Incest.
Sure. Yes,
an incestuous situation.
Yeah.
It's something like, smelled something like that because the mother sort of was shunted aside. It took me forever on the historical record to find a trace of her, the slightest trace of her grave. Okay, now the other thing, Miguel Bezos, the stepfather, he came over as a 15-year-old boy from Cuba on something called Operation Peter Pan. Pedro Pan, also known as Pedo Pan.
As in Pedo Pan.
1,500 kids, most of them raped by Catholic priests and foster homes, foster parents, orphanages. And there's been now finally a film and some books about it. And where he went, the Salesian Center in Wilmington, Delaware, major pedals center, a lot of cases there. The father had to, the chief father in chief who did the investigation had to write an apology for this, and this is where he was. So there is dark secrets, psychological shadows that I believe the Bezos clan would like to erase.
You can find him in Pizzagate Part 9.
But these are the people who will erase the public record.
Yes.
Do you understand? They're so used to erasing their own. They can't confront their own memories. They want to destroy the public memory, too. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
So if we understand Amazon, there's a psychological dimension. There is a technological dimension which will converge into total control like the MK Ultra project could never have imagined. Wedding of technology that was developed to control guided missiles and the internet now converging to control biology. And they now talk about human brains as computers, human brains as machine intelligence, that humans are no more than like machines, like computers. So this is the language that these people use. I think is very dangerous, and people need to learn about it. It has been suppressed, and this is part of Pizzagate. You know, so we have this pedophilia part of the process of destroying people's memories. You know, people have such a trauma; they can no longer remember.
The pain is too much. It's wiped out.
Yeah. So this is very fundamental to MKUltra, to rape these children young, subject them to torture, and then to fragment their mind and then to reassemble that the way you want. And you have this ultimate control system
for life,
that dark memory.
You have it for life control. Look, when they shatter they do it before the child is six, usually. The mind at that stage, the psyche is not solidified. They get in there and break it up, and it's most easily then reconfigured and into literally a lifetime of servitude until you're ordered to suicide out when you no longer have any function. Then they just order you to go.
They get rid of these people. Often these people end up being found dead somewhere. You know?
Easy. It's so easy. Sure.
They're removed. They're removed. They're machines to be sent to the scrapyard. They're not humans.
You know, I didn't know that they were until this part. It's all in part 9. You got to read this and please pass it around. And 8, 7, 6. They're all standalone pieces. The idea that they literally now consider the mass of humanity, our brains, to be machines that are all easily interfaced with, controlled, and directed. They're machines.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot to be said for that because we're electrical beings. I mean, you can't dispute it. That's their reality. We're playing catch up here big time. And it's such a long way to go to catch up with these people. To get the average person to think that their mind is a computer is not easy, but
they're doing that now with all these people online. And, you know, but there's been this rebellion. That's what we're so happy about on Reddit, on 4chan, on Vogue, on these boards where people are posting, where there's been a rebellion against. There's a rebellion against the Matrix. And that's why we have been so happy, so thrilled, and so encouraging of these younger people to continue that rebellion for freedom, information freedom, and not to give up at the first level of censorship. You know, they have to crash through the censorship. And I think we've seen a national leader, Donald Trump, who's leading the way. He's the bull in the china shop, you know, knocking out the mainstream media, challenging, saying things that were unthinkable just a year ago. Unthinkable things are now happening. The mainstream media has been smashed. CNN has been discredited. We saw...
Oh, it'll never recover.
What's his name?
No.
What was it? You know, the Gloria Vanderbilt's son, Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, you know, Gloria Vanderbilt's kid. He's the homosexual.
Yeah, we saw very late last night, Kellyanne Conway, a lot of people saw today, Kellyanne Conway putting him through the buzzsaw. Okay? Through the buzzsaw.
I missed that. She shredded him, huh?
He was a wreck. He was red. He turned red, suddenly red. he turned red to me. And finally he collapsed and said, it was all, this report against Trump, the so-called Russian, it was all a fake. Then, after
that. So that was what broke him down. It was Kellyanne. Ah, she's tough.
She took him apart.
She is tough as nails.
Yeah.
She should have been chief of staff. I don't like Reince Priebus at all.
No. It's good she's out there in public. She's got to do this stuff, man. I mean, you know, no one else. It's smooth as her, as fast as her. She took apart CNN. And then today, the lawyers and managing editors at CNN, they had to make Anderson Cooper read a statement sort of to legally protect themselves that they had.
Oh, they threw a disclaimer out, huh? After the fact.
They threw a disclaimer. Now, you know, this is the difference between mainstream media and what. See, I worked in newspapers, and it was always tough, especially when we were right. Especially when we were correct and right to write a retraction.
Yeah.
To do a retraction because that company had so much advertising power.
So much money.
Or because legally we needed one last piece of evidence and we couldn't get that last smoking gun. We had to write a retraction. Very humiliating. But what would happen is that if a TV camera came over and said, what's going on? Our managing editor, okay? Our top man would stand at the door. He wouldn't force the reporter out there and explain, we apologize. Do you understand?
Certainly do.
CNN, they didn't have the decency in any of their executive staff to show their faces and apologize to what they did. The lies that they broadcast against Donald Trump, this buzzsaw crap. You know? So that is an improper media. It's a media which does not, CNN doesn't deserve to exist. It's not run like a real,
No, it should never be given any attention anymore, as is the case with CNN.
Because you have to have ethical standards.
That's right.
And sometimes even when you're right, if you don't have enough loaded gun, not enough evidence, you're going to have to take the hit. And your managing editor is going to have to come out there with his necktie, apologize to the aggrieved party, pay off, write the check. And that's how the real press works. Not this phony thing that's been going on for too long.
Way too long.
The other part, now the Trump stuff.
And let me say one other thing real quick. Mm-hmm. For all of you listening, this program, the network, and your website, Rents, we all really depend on the wonderful people who have stepped up to sponsor us. These are brave people. They've been attacked in the past. They've stood very tall in the First Amendment, and they know what's going on. There's a new effort now to attack some of them. So please support the people who support what we do for you. Help them out, especially things like bio superfood. You got nothing to lose. You're going to gain all the way down the line. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. If you had GoFundMe, that would be great. But it's better that you sell products, that we're not out there with begging bowls. But
no, we're giving.
Products are good
we're
for
giving.
People.
Yeah.
You know, to be enterprising, this is the American system, so I hope everyone understands. If you don't purchase some second-rate garbage at Walmart or somewhere, you're not supporting your media, nor are you supporting your health, really. So instead of buying those damn supplements, buy some of the stuff from Jeff Zeichner.
Thank you.
Now, this bogus report that claims that Donald Trump was involved was called a golden shower, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I read that report a couple of times, and I think most people did not read the report. People commented, talked on. In fact, it's not about a golden child. The golden child would imply that Trump went to this hotel in Moscow, hired a bunch of prostitutes, and the way it's done is you either go to, you know, sit on the tile floor and the girls or boys do their urination on you, and you love it, you know? Or you do it under a glass cocktail table, okay?
Correct.
If you don't want to see it happen.
Right.
What you don't do is just wet a bed on purpose.
No.
No golden shower people ever wet a bed. Now, the story that came out of there was from Source A, supposedly a senior foreign ministry official, Russian, okay, who said that Donald Trump lividly hated Michelle Obama. So in Moscow, he rented the presidential suite where Michelle and her husband, Barack, stayed in 2009. The event occurs in 2013, 4 years later.
4 years later.
4 years after they're there. So that bed's probably been changed and sold. I mean, changed and turned over. The new
I'm sure it has.
In that time.
Yeah.
Hires the prostitutes to pee on there. And then they say, also, it's well known that there's cameras and bugging devices there. And I said, and that all he did was watch it. Now, I said, first of all, I look up, where in the hell in 2013, what happened there? Donald Trump came to Moscow in November 2013 for the Miss Universe contest, which was hosted there. You know, Russia didn't have a lot of money, and they hosted a lot of international events.
Yeah.
So Miss Universe is one of them. So he's there. And I said, did he have a beef with Obama? No. He was still friendly with the Clintons, right? Obama had no reasons for a tiff. When the tiff came was when Michelle, in October, this past October 2016, in New Hampshire, at that primary, she gave a speech against Donald Trump, okay? And he was hopping mad about that. He didn't say a lot, but he was hopping mad, okay? So we have an incident from October 2016. He's mad at Michelle Obama. And so back in 2013, he paid some prostitutes to wee wee on her bed. Now, I wrote my story. Well, in that case, he must have had someone had a time machine to go back and give him the
I'm
news.
I'm sorry, 4 years, that's ridiculous.
Mr.
Hiring
Trump,
prostitutes
Trump,
to pee on the bed.
Michelle hates you.
Yeah,
come on, okay?
It's ridiculous.
Does that make any sense?
No.
And so it makes zero sense, especially if he's a hotelier, okay? You know, all the big hotels, you know?
Yes.
He knows entrapment schemes. He knows when the mafia's got cameras there and all. He's got his security team. He's very well of that dirty hotel owners and all that. He's very aware of that. He does not allow that in the Trump hotels, okay? All his guests have privacy. That's an ethical issue for him. You know, and for him, if one customer were to be filmed inside a Trump hotel, he would be ruined, right?
That would do it.
Right?
That would do it.
Yeah. Of course he's not going to. So of course he knows that hotel in Moscow is compromised. Okay? So, nonsense. So who wrote this report? Let's go trace this back, okay?
Yeah, we're out of Yoshi, we're out of time here. I can give you another minute. Let's try and do it in a minute.
Okay. So basically, it starts with in London with a group called Orbis Business Intel, two MI6 agents, one named Christopher Steele, retired diplomat. He did most of the gathering in Moscow. From the U.S. side, Fusion, GPS, New York, former Wall Street Journal people. But the key guy is named Thomas Katan, a Jewish name, former reporter for the Times of London and Financial Times. He was the mouthpiece of the MI6 when the helicopter crash killed the English lawyer of Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Well, I've traced this back to the only prominent American with ties to these people. Is a fellow named Randy Shinneman of Orion Strategies. He is a business partner of Khodorkovsky, close associate of David Miliband, Labor Party, recipient of Soros money, and he is John McCain's top advisor on national security.
Right now? He is McCain's. This is all in Pizzagate 9, okay?
It's all there. I mean,
Yoshi writes such detailed. beautifully researched material with such broad-reaching impact. You've got to read the part nine. I'm sure you'll get hooked and read the rest. Send this around to people in government. Send this around to people that you care about. You've got to understand the reality of it. And this goes way, way deep and way wide. And he's got it. It's all there.
Sherman is protected with Rothschild, Soros, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the Yuko scandal. They hate the Jewish energy banking people. Hate Putin so much. The fact that Trump is even trying to be courteous diplomatic with them is a crime in their eyes. They are fanatics. They are crazy.
I agree. All right. We're out of time. Thank you. It's truly the best series of journalism I've seen in years. The Pizzagate series by Yoichi Shimatsu. Please pass them around. Thanks, Yoshi. Talk soon. Great job.
Very good then.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll take a break, come right back. Pizzagate number 9 is what we're talking about right on the homepage, right up top. Do read it, and you might want to read it twice. It's amazing. Back in a few.